Hello everybody. Hello everybody. This week episode about real estate investing is going to be wholesaling and flipping. And why am I going to talk about wholesaling flipping is that this is a very popular topic, I understand. But also there is a lot of questions and misconceptions out there. One of them being is that people ask me all the time, is it still possible to wholesale and flip real estate? Is wholesaling dead? Is it still going to be a strategy that I should pursue? And yes, my question is, of course, I've been wholesaling flipping since the 80s. And went through different economic changes, recessions. The fact is, the concept of wholesaling, let me talk about a little bit what does wholesaling mean. Wholesaling means that you buy a property at a lower price and sell it still at a discounted price, but higher. So, you know, and that can obviously apply, wholesaling can apply to real estate, can apply to cars, can apply to anything out there. So the concept is you buy low and you sell low, but you make a profit. You're not going to retail, right? You're going to wholesale. So you still have to give it a good deal to whoever's going to buy it. And so you make a profit on the spread between the two prices. So now with that said, there's always going to be property out there that is going to be great for wholesaling. It's always going to be there. So, you know, the fact is your skills are going to come in as being able to find these properties. And so this is where the strategy changes in wholesaling. So wholesaling per se is not going to change. It's always going to be there. It's a great way to make money in real estate. What changes is your skills as an investor on how you're going to find these properties. And this is where it's going to change. This is where some ways of finding property for wholesale are not going to work anymore as some of the other ways that are more popular. So what are some of these ways that we're going to see in this next year or so? Well, a great way to find properties to wholesale is still through foreclosures, okay? Now, there are not going to be as many foreclosures as before, but the fact is there is less competition, though, of investors trying to get into the pre-foreclosure because a lot of investors are moving away from pre-foreclosure and doing other things. Like, for example, you know, they want to go into you know, more regular type properties or abandoned properties or drive for dollars. So the pre-foreclosure market actually is kind of an open arena right now. But you have to approach pre-foreclosure from a little different standpoint. Not everything, 90% of the property a couple of years ago in pre-foreclosure, meaning having a foreclosure date, were possible short sales. Now it dropped down to about 50%. That means that actually about 50% of these properties have equity. So as an investor, you have to keep this in mind when you approach these foreclosures and you approach these owners that have a foreclosure day, not all of them have to do a short sale. So you still can do short sales on some of them, and the other part is property with equity. So how you deal with this property? Now you need to put yourself in a situation where, for example, you can reinstate the loan. So if they have a mortgage obviously in default, so let's say they have to come up with $5,000, $10,000 or so in order to stop the foreclosure. You need to come up with that money, but as long as there is equity in the property, it's a win-win situation. So you have to do your due diligence, make sure the equity is what it says it's going to be. Also make sure there is no over judgments or things on title that can eat up into the profit. And then you tell the homeowner, look, you know, I'm going to arrest you, stop the foreclosure here on the 11th hour. I'm going to come up with the money to stop the foreclosure. But, you know, you have to give me the title of the property, and that is what is called a subject to. So subject to, basically, they're going to give you the title. So why would they do that? Well, different reasons. First of all, they're stopping the foreclosure. Second of all, you're going to give them some money when you flip the property sometime in the future. Now they can rent the property back from you. You know, you pay the mortgage, so basically you're going to take the responsibility of paying the mortgage, and they can rent the property back. The thing is, you want to make sure that you have control of the property, so that's why you get the title to the property, and basically they become kind of tenants in there. Or you can, or they can pay the mortgage if you want to and let them live there, but you know, with the understanding that you're going to sell the property 3-6 months, a year down the road, and then you know, that you're going to probably give them, depending on the equity positions, you're probably going to give them a percentage of the profit. It could be a couple thousand dollars to $10,000 or $20,000, depending obviously how much equity you have into the deal. So their motivation would be that you're going to stop the foreclosure on the 11th hour. Short sales, I tell you right now, you can't stop a foreclosure anymore with short sales or anything else unless you have 2 to 3 weeks in advance. So if there's equity in the property, obviously short sales is not going to work anyway. So this is the perfect strategy to do. Now you're going to say, well, I still need the money to come up with the reinstatement of the loan. Yes. So, either you have, sometimes it could be $3,000 or $4,000, depending on which properties you're looking for. Or you can go to a private lender. Lenders, there is good equity in the property. They'll be much more open to loan $5,000, $10,000 than $50,000 or $100,000 to buy the property. As long as there's equity, they can make money off of it. So it's actually easier to find money for flipping properties, doing reinstatement of the loan than anything else. Now, if you're interested in subject two, I do have a course on my website about subject two and how to structure the subject two and so forth. And it's only $95, very, very inexpensive for a limited time. And the website is lauraalamieri.com/control-RE, like control real estate, control-RE at lauraalamieri.com. Okay, lauraalamieri.com/control-RE. So now moving forward, some of the other ways that I really like to get property to wholesale nowadays is tax delinquent property. By getting to these properties before they go to the auction, and you tie them up with an option, a $1 option, and then you flip them like you would do anything else. This is important how you structure survives the auction. Meaning that if somebody buys the property on the closeout steps, for the tax option, this option actually is going to be recorded before the auction. So it's actually, they will have to respect you with this option before they do anything. So it's very, very powerful. So I don't suggest you buy tax delinquent property actually at the auction. I think it's a great way to buy this property before the auction, and actually even better, without even buying them, just tie them up with an option and just flip this property. This is getting very popular. A lot of people are doing great things with this. It's still a very much misunderstood and not understood at all type of niche market. So there is an open field out there for doing these types of deals. And this is tax delinquent property, which I also have a course if you want to get into, which has been very, very popular. We do these boot camps live online, and a lot of people sign up because it is a great way to find property. So if you go to my website under Success Store, lauraalamieri.com, go to the top tab, says Success Store, you can find more about this great course in tax delinquent property. And I think I also have a webinar running if you want to know more about it. Now, other ways is to find property is to buy notice of default. Basically, when a bank, somebody defaults on a note, the bank has the option to either start a foreclosure, but if an investor approaches them, they will also sell the note, or sometimes they go ahead and close and sell the note afterwards. So the best thing is to approach the banks directly, and you usually can do this with the smaller banks, the credit unions, the regional banks, instead of the big banks. The big banks tend to put these in tapes and pools and sell them to huge packages, which it's going to be hard to deal with for a smaller investor. So my suggestion is you go directly to the credit unions or you go directly to the smaller banks and deal with them as far as getting into these properties, okay? So that's another way to, a great way to find properties, buying these notes, and then you'll flip them as anything else. Yeah, in a way, is you have to negotiate kind of like you do a short sale. However, it's a much faster approach, and also you don't buy the property per se, you buy the note, and then you can do whatever you want with this note. You can sell it, you can foreclose on the owner, and so forth. So it's a little different approach, but you buy the note, you're not really buying the property. Another approach would be to find property is abandon the vacant property. And the only way really to find this property is by driving around. Okay, there's a cluster called Drive for Dollars. So just keep that in mind. Drive for Dollars is where you find this property. There's no other way there because, people might have moved out the last 2-3 weeks. And even if you try to use, like I did, Google Earth, Google Earth is not updated, so property must still show that it's occupied when it's vacant and so forth. So unfortunately, there is no substitution for you to pick up a neighborhood, drive around, and look for vacant and abandoned property. But there is great things you can do with this property because obviously they're sitting there vacant. So you have to find the homeowner, approach him, and see what you can work out with them. So these are some ideas on how to find property to wholesale and flip. Okay, so as you see, there are plenty of ideas out there, and I have a lot more. These are just some of the most common ones I wanted to share with you. And that, and your skills is going to come into, you know, adopting one or two of these ideas and go out there and really find this property to wholesale. That's all you have to do. Everything else pretty much works the same way. I'm going to go over home very quickly here about the process. So, you know, you still have to look for building a qualified buyers list. You know, that would be honestly the first step. That would be the first important step because the fact is, if you have buyers already in place, it's a slam dunk deal to get this property sold. So you not only know which neighborhood you should work more than others, because most of your buyers buy in a specific neighborhood, you also want to target, your buyers should be wholesalers like you, landlords, rehabbers, these people that are going to buy from you repeatedly. You know, you really don't want to deal with owner-occupants or buyers that will buy one time and move on, unless you deal with fix and flip, which is into another category. I'm not going to talk about it in this episode. But so build a qualified buyer list, I think that is very important because the fact is it will make your life easier in getting this property sold and moved, okay? So that's the first step. Now the second step is that, like we talked about, is locating property. Now you have your buyer list, you know what they want, you know how much they want to spend, you know which neighborhoods and so forth. And obviously there is a strategy to it, which I cover in several of my bookends, about qualifying your buyers. But then you have to locate properties. I share with you some of the ideas. There's so many other ideas. But one of the things I want to really you bring away from this podcast is that you want the direct approach is best, okay? Skip real estate agents, skip middle people. You want to go to the source, banks, owners. This is where the deals are done. This is where you can tie a property without putting down $1,000 in earnest money. This is where you can ask extensions if you have to, you have to find a suitable buyer. This is where you can go ahead and structure any financing you want. This is where you can go and ask the seller to take a lesser price because you cannot sell the property for what you agreed on in the beginning. There's, you know, the possibilities are endless when you deal directly with the owners and the banks. Now, if you start putting a middle person there, a real estate agent or somebody else, first of all, they're not going to let you tie up the property for a dollar. And second of all, you know, if you go back and ask for any change in the contract, it's like hell breaks loose, right? You can't really ask for an extension. You have to put more money down. Or, you know, you have to show proof of funds and so forth. So therefore, as I said, you know, do yourself a favor and start saying from the beginning, I'm just going to deal directly with the owners and skip everybody else. And you're going to make your life so much easier. Now, once you find the property, the next thing you want to do is, of course, run comps and due diligence, okay? They're wholesale property for a reason. They're obviously some type of distress situations. The owners must have lost their jobs, have behind on the payments, you know, left town, there was a death in the family, you know, the property may be probate. So the fact is you want to see what's on title. So whenever you tie up, my suggestion is since it's a numbers game, you really don't run title on properties before you put contracts on property. But once you put the contract or an option on the property, then you have your due diligence period anyway. You can back out of the contract if it happens that this property has a lot of problems in title, okay? So, you know, I mean, you can deal with these problems, but that means you cannot probably flip it in the next 4 to 6 weeks and make some quick money. So you will have to make a decision. Do you want to deal with all that and drag it out for a few months, or are you looking for quick cash and maybe this is something you, this property puts on the back burner and go look for more properties that are more cash ready and cash available. So now moving along, the next thing is you want to purchase the property, right? So that will be your next steps. So you have to consider which title company you want to work with. You want to work with a title company that's investor friendly and can actually help you in working with title problems and judgments, okay? So you want an investor friendly title company. And also you want to deal with a company that will let you do flips. Okay, don't take for granted. Not all kind of companies nowadays like flips. It's not that legal. It's just maybe they had a problem in the past or so forth. They don't want to do flips anymore. Okay. Now, first, now you got everything done. So, you know, you got the contract on the property, you delivered to the title company. Now you have the due diligence period going on. But this is also the time where you go out there and look for buyers. Okay. You know, you present the property to your buyer list. So that's why it's very important that you qualify your buyer's list. And then use all these loopholes on the sales contract for you to back out in case you might think it's the greatest property for the greatest price, but for some reason, sometimes these properties still don't sell. So you always want to make sure that when you write an A to B contract between you and the original owner, that you have some contingencies there that can let you back out of the deal that you have to. Okay, so the loophole contingencies on sales contract are very, very important. And as I said, use the MLS as the last result. Okay, this is last resort. Now you use the MLS on fix and flip. Fix and flip, I have no problem if you use the MLS because then you're targeting a retail buyer that, you know, is a totally different area. So you're not going to have a buyer's list necessarily for fix and flips. And plus you're going to retail a higher price, paying a commission to agents, so forth. So that's fine. You can use the MLS. For just wholesaling, I would say I use it only as the last resort. If I try that and everything else and this property doesn't sell, then I go ahead and throw it on the MLS, okay? Now, a couple of last things I want to cover about is obviously you're going to flip this property. You want to, if you're flipping property, you're probably going to use transactional funding. Transactional funding, they will loan up to 100% with the understanding that you have an end buyer in place, okay? So they're not going to loan you the property. You say, okay, I'm just going to close on it, and then I will flip it, but no, I'm not ready to flip it today, so maybe sometime in the future. No, they are going to fund only if you have an end buyer in place, okay? Now, I know there are several types of companies that are opening up to the idea of letting you use the buyer's fund to let you fund the property, so you don't even have to use transactional funding now. Now, you know, this is very much frowned upon, so you have to be very careful that the title company takes on the responsibility, basically, that they are actually okay with doing that because, you know, technically you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to show a trail of paperwork coming from that A to B has to be funded before it goes back to B to C. But again, I'm seeing more and more title company opening up the fact that like they used to do 10 years ago, that they let the buyer's funds actually fund the A to B. So you will save a lot of money, you know, having to borrow transactional funding since you don't have to pay those fees, okay? So this is basically how it works on the wholesaling flip. Now, obviously, the thing that you have to think about is that, you know, it's a rinse and repeat method. Once you've got all these components in place, you got your buyer list, you know which properties you're going to buy, you know, you got the whole structure down, it's a rinse and repeat. You do it over and over again. And you can do this so many times over. You can do it 5 times, 10 times a month, whatever you feel comfortable with. So it's very important that once you get the different components in place, that you delegate and automate, okay? Delegate and automate. So the fact is, and I'm the first one, I've had problem with delegating anything in my life. You know, I'm always much a control freak. But the fact is, I realized when I start having other people doing certain things like the research, or even I had a guy going for me to bid on the courthouse steps, you know, all this stuff is freed up so much more of my time so that I could concentrate and do more important things, like, for example, you know, contact potential sellers and network with buyers. So that's where your expertise and you should come in, being the person that talks to these people, that establish a relationship with these sellers and these buyers, which is so important. Let the other stuff, the research, the, you know, day-to-day stuff to somebody else. So that's why I said delegate and then automate. You know, there are so many tools out there that you can use to definitely automate the system. You know, it can go as simple as having a spreadsheet with formulas put in there so you can analyze deals. So there is several apps out there and tools, software that can help you do that and are kind of fun. There's even an app that I really like that basically you put it on your iPhone and as you go out there looking at property, you can snap a picture of the property and then it will go into the app. You calculate the deal and then if it looks good to the app, then you save it. And then when you come home, you will have the picture of the property, the address and the number. So you boom, you can do a contract right there and then. So as you're out in the field driving for dollars, there's this app that is great for doing that, okay? So, you know, the fact is that there's so many tools and information out there to help you make your life easier. So definitely take advantage of that, okay? So, and then the other thing is, you know, take action. At the end of the day, you are the one who has to put all these things in motion. You know, there's nobody else that can do it for you. You have the tools, you have the information, you know, the skills are there. There is, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Try to do something that somebody else will be successful with. And take action. I can tell you right now, once you close the first deal, it gets easier and easier and easier. So, you know, don't feel like, you know, you have to, you know, learn anything. You cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. You can just see only the next 100 feet in front of you. So that's okay. You don't have to know everything about the real estate business. You never will. Just know enough to get you going with the first deal. And that's what I strive for teaching to my coaching students. Just learn one step at a time. But, you know, as I teach you, go out there and do something so that it is kind of a learn-as-you-go type approach. Okay? Great. For more information, please visit my website, which is lauraalamery.com. That's lauraalamery.com. And don't forget to sign up for some of my webinars and consultation calls. I have a blog. I have a lot of information for you to get started. Thanks again. And next week, episode, I will go more into the buy and hold. Okay, so next week will be about buy strategies a lot of people are interested in, and also I'll talk about buy and hold with owner financing, lease options, and subject too. So very, very interesting episode. So don't miss them. So every Thursday at 12 noon Central Time. Thanks again, and see you soon.